This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program is the continuation of Sacrifices in Being a Muslim with Imam Siraj Wahaj and Imam Zaid Shakir.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد brothers and sisters I am praying to Allah the Almighty that when you leave this auditorium tonight at Rutgers University that you will go home beginning tonight to make sacrifices that you've never made before I have learned a long time ago that you have to talk specifics with people. A father, before he goes to work, he tells his children to be good, and they say, okay. And when he returns, he asks the children, have you been good? And they say, yes, of course, because he gave them no specifics. Rather, the father should say, I want you to pray today, all of your prayers, fast today, go visit someone who's sick. And so when the father goes to work and when he returns home, he asks them, did you fast? Did you pray? He asks them specifics. So if you go out tonight with a spirit of sacrifice, but no specifics, then it's problematic. I want you and me to focus on two areas. Number one, sacrifice of your time, specifically. And number two, sacrifice of your wealth. Last year, over 72 million Americans went to baseball fields to observe a game in person. A game. I'm not talking about the millions of people who watched it on the TV and heard it on the radio. I'm talking about 72 million in person. A young man, I think his name is Alex Rodriguez, signed a contract to play a baseball game, $250 million 10-year contract to play baseball, a game. Tiger Woods signed a contract with Nike, $100 million 5-year contract to represent a sneaker, a game. And when you look in America, you're talking about a game, the Super Bowl, the World Series, games, one game after the other. And brothers and sisters, tonight, I would like to do my part, and I'm asking Allah to bless us so that you leave tonight with a spirit of sacrifice. I learned that this idea of sacrifice is not just a religious one. Even people in this dunya have some sacrifice in order to achieve their achievements. A young basketball player named Kobe Bryant plays for Los Angeles Lakers. I was surprised to learn how many hours he practices, how many thousands of free throws he shoots the ball, he practices the dribble, all of these things. And he patterns himself after Michael Jordan. Because Michael Jordan, to him, is the best ever that played. So he wanted to be like Michael. And therefore, he does all of this sacrifice and all of the time that he can become the best ever so that he can get a measure of so-called success in this society. But my question to him is this. Then what, Kobe? You become better than Michael. You make $400 million, $500 million, $1 billion. Then what, Kobe? There were people that lived and died, made more money than Michael Jordan, made more money than Tiger Woods. But now you don't even know about them. So what's the purpose? I am very embarrassed tonight, embarrassed by my own lack of sacrifice for Allah, and embarrassed about our ummah. This brother, Hamza, and Imam Zayd know, perhaps more than anything, of my great desire to build a masjid for Allah, not for myself, but for Allah. And I feel that in that area, if we had a structure for Allah, I believe thousands and thousands of people will come to Allah's deen. So therefore, what do? Our humble, poor community went out with the niyyah to build the masjid. You heard us, we had programs at Madison Square Garden, Brooklyn College. I didn't want to go to Mecca and beg, so I figured I can have some kind of program, and I thought that the Muslims would respond. And some of you did, and I thank you for it. But you know why I'm embarrassed? I'm embarrassed because there are millions of Muslims, millionaires, and just one of them can write a check, even to loan us the money. Say, Imam Siraj, here's a check for $5 million. Build the masjid and pay me back later. But I don't get that. And I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because I know Allah has the ability to say, kun fayakun, being it is. I know that. But I'm embarrassed because all these Muslims made all these billions of dollars and can't give us a few to build a masjid for Allah. I'm embarrassed. I just want to grab one of the Sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name used to be Abdul Shams, the servant of the sun. His name, most of you don't know, Abdullah Abdul Rahman. He's more known and more famous for his nickname, Abu Huraira. Study books on hadith, and you will discover that this man narrated some 3,500 hadiths from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one comes near him in the number of narrations. But you know, brothers and sisters, this even is not really appreciated until you understand the perspective that Abu Huraira became a Muslim in Medina and was only with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salat wa salam about 3 years. Why he narrates so many hadith? Go and see what he himself said. He said, many people, they say, wonder about Abu Huraira. How come he recites so many hadith? How come? He says, the muhajirin, they're busy in the marketplaces. And the ansar, they're busy with their wealth. But let me tell you something about this man, Abu Huraira. He was on welfare. You know, the kind of person that you look down on? Real poor. Let me tell you how poor he was. He was so poor that he had nothing to eat. He would go ask some of the Sahaba a question, hoping that they would invite him to his house so that he can have a meal. That's how poor Abu Huraira was. I mean, to say miskeen is perhaps not even adequately describing how poor he was. He lived in a homeless shelter, so to speak. He didn't have a home. That's why it's called Ahlu Sufa. These are those poor companions of the Prophet who lived in a shed next to the masjid. This is Abu Huraira. But you know what? Go to any masjid on a Yawm al-Jum'ah. Listen to any khutbah by any imam. And it would be difficult to hear a khutbah and not hear the name An Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. Pick up a book on hadith and read it and see if Abu Huraira's name is mentioned radiallahu anhu. Why? Because of the sacrifice that he made. And what was his sacrifice? His time. Everywhere the Messenger of Allah went, every place, Abu Huraira was right there, following the Prophet. Everywhere he went, and Allah blessed him to retain, after the dua of the Prophet Muhammad, to retain everything that the Messenger of Allah said he remembered. So that now, in these years, in the year 2001, someone can become a Muslim because of the great sacrifice that Abu Huraira made. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to leave you with this this thought, this hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this puts things in perspective. And I pray to Allah, brothers and sisters, that none of us will become victims of this game. It's a game. And Ibn Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, and in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, يَتْبَعُ الْمَيَّةَ ثَلَثَ أَحْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَالُهُ. Three things follow the dead person to the grave: his family, his wealth, and his deeds. For يَرْجُ أُثْنَيْنِ, two things return: أَحْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى الْوَاحِدُ, and one thing remains: عَمَالُهُ, his deeds. I ask you this tonight, brothers and sisters. All right, you achieve the American dream. You go after what these people are going after. You play the game. And you make millions and millions of dollars. Then what? So, after I get all of this money, I'll donate money to the masjid. But you know what happens? There's something in the human nature that suggests that when the son of Adam, if you give him a valley of gold, he wants a second valley of gold. If you give him two valleys of gold, he wants a third valley of gold, because that's the way we are. We're greedy. And all that Allah gives us, still not enough, because we're greedy and we're stingy. But yet when you study the Sahaba, when you study Abu Huraira, when you study the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see all of them making this great, wonderful sacrifice. I close with these words. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاثة. You know this very famous hadith that when the human being dies, all of his works, his deeds are cut off, except three. صدقة جارية, this صدقة that continues to go on, and علم ينتفع به, knowledge that benefits, and والد صالح يدعو له, and a righteous offspring that makes dua for the parents. I'm saying, brothers and sisters, the reality. We got faked out. You know why? Because you're running after stuff. It doesn't mean anything. Not going to get you anywhere. Do yourself a favor. Pick up the obituary page. And you look at the people that die every day. What do they have so that on the day of judgment, when Allah raised them up, what do they have? And you know something? The Prophet, you know what he said? He said, a person says, and give this wealth to that one, and give my wealth to that, and give, you know, here's a person about to die, right? You know, I can give that one that. And the Prophet said, well, by that time, it already belongs to them. I mean, think about it. So you go now, right? You go to school, and you study, and you get this great big job, and you get the business, and you get all that money, right? And then what? $500 million, and then you die. It's not even yours now. Somebody else is going to get it. At best, the car, the house, the clothing. What do you have that you will take with you that you can stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will you have? You can't say wealth. So if you're smart, your wealth is what you spend. That belongs to you. Build a masjid for Allah. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying to you two things. Number one, time. And number two, money. First, in your own life. Sacrifice in your own life. And I close with this. I'm asking you in your own personal lives to reevaluate your time. I'm not even telling you to turn off the TV for moral reasons, though most of it is immoral. I'm saying it for your own sake. Turn it off. And get your mind studying, learning, so you can teach your children. And then finally, you brothers and sisters, tonight you give money to somebody, some Islamic cause. If there's one Muslim out there who can write a check for $5 million, you write that check. Help us to build a masjid for Allah. And then, look what you would get. And then you would get a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the sacrifice that you made. This is my humble contribution tonight. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept it and accept us and have mercy upon us and forgive us our sins and help us to be wise enough to know that we have to sacrifice even for our own good. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
For Youth Matters, Muslim World News. national news, Islamic information, Muslim scholars' insights, business and legal advice, and the hottest debates on current affairs. Tune in to IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network, the voice of American Muslims.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdillahu fala mudilla lah. ومن يدلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله حمدا كثيرا الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المسلمين All praise is due to Allah and it would be sufficient for us this night if we did nothing other than praise Allah that would suffice us as acknowledgement for the sacrifices of all those people from the very beginning Those who were beaten, such as Bilal. Those who were martyred, such as the parents, family of Yasir, Sumayya, radiallahu anha. And all of the other martyrs, such as Hamza, radiallahu anha. And all those who followed his sterling example. He's their emir. He's the emir of the martyrs. They sacrificed. And from the generations after them, such as our imams, Abu Hanifa, who was in prison because he wouldn't compromise, Imam Malik, who was beaten and ridiculed despite his tremendous stature because he wouldn't compromise, and he would continue to sacrifice and to speak the truth, knowing full well the implications of that, and Imam Ahmed, Sacrifice is well known and needs no mentioning how he suffered during the Inquisition and sacrificed his health because he wouldn't compromise. And Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, who with failing health was slowly bleeding to death from hemorrhoids, still gave every moment of his day to teach this deen and all of his sciences. To teach the jurisprudence of it. To teach the principles which underlie that jurisprudence. To teach its language. To teach the hadith of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While he was slowly bleeding to death from bleeding hemorrhoids which had afflicted him. These are the people whose sacrifices have given us this deen. And if we praise Allah for that, until the sun came up and prayed Fajr in this room, after staying here all night and saying nothing but Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. That will suffice us. But Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, and some of us have been commissioned with a mission. And a Muslim undertakes the missions he's commissioned with or she's commissioned with to the best of his or her ability. Like those who have preceded me, I've been commissioned to speak about this subject, but from a slightly different angle, an angle that has not been neglected. First of all, brothers and sisters, you should understand, we should understand that sacrifice is an integral part of this deen. And for that reason alone, perhaps this is why this way is called Millat Ibrahim. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعْلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجِ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Strive and struggle in the way of Allah as you rightfully should. He has chosen you. Allah Ta'ala has chosen us. Brothers and sisters, you are not a Muslim by random accident. There's no such thing. It's been proven scientifically, and we knew it in terms of the spiritual laws a long time ago. There is no such thing as random selection. Allah Ta'ala chose us, has chosen us for a wisdom He best understands, and He did not choose us in vain. Allah Ta'ala has caused us to live during these times, during these days. Allah Ta'ala, just as He has gathered us together in this room, and all of our colors, and all of our variety, and all of our mutually reinforcing strength and beauty for a reason. He has gathered us in this country for a reason. Allah Ta'ala does not do anything randomly, without a plan, nor without a purpose, nor without reason. Brothers and sisters, so He said He has chosen you, and He hasn't imposed any difficulty upon you in deen. To pray 5 prayers doesn't involve a great sacrifice. It's not a difficulty. To pay our zakat on our wealth, 2.5%, 2.5%, it's not a difficulty. To fast the month of Ramadan, from dusk to dawn. Our fast isn't consecutive fasting. 5 days consecutive, no eating, no drinking for 10 days. Children fast. Our elderly fast. Our women fast. Our men fast. It's not difficult. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He hasn't made for you any difficulty in your deen. And to do more than that, which we might consider if we don't understand this deen a sacrifice, if we understand this deen is not a sacrifice. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can shed light on this idea tonight. Brothers and sisters, Allah Ta'ala says, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. The way of your father Ibrahim. And Ibrahim in the scriptures is the embodiment of sacrifice. He is the one chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be remembered throughout history as the one who was willing to sacrifice his very son. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُ قَالَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ فَسَتَجُدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And when was he asked to sacrifice him? Right at the age when the father looks forward to beginning to share and to teach the son, to share his experience with the son, to begin to take the son around with him in his comings and goings, to teach him his life's work. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعْيَ. At that point, قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك. At that time, I've seen in my dream, in my sleep, that I am to sacrifice you. And his son was willing to sacrifice his life. There are two stories here. There's the story of Ibrahim, and there's the story of Ismail. And he too was willing to sacrifice. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى أَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Their affairs are conducted on the basis of mutual consultation. Oh my son, what do you think about this? قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ. He said, oh my father, do that which you have been commanded. Don't worry about me. I'll give this life up, fi sabilillah. If that's what Allah Ta'ala has commanded with you to do, don't worry about me, father. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. You will find me, inshallah, amongst those who are patient, who will patiently persevere. So Ibrahim, this is his way. This is the way of sacrifice. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued that exalted tradition when he responded to the command of his Lord. When his Lord said to him, as it's been recorded similarly for all times in the book of Allah, his eternal speech, قُلْ, say, O Muhammad, قُلْ, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمِحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Say, verily, my prayer and my sacrifice, my living and my dying are all for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. No partner has He, and with this I have been commanded. And I am the first from this ummah to submit his will as a Muslim. This is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not a way of words. This was a declaration, a proclamation. But it's a way of action. It's a way of action, brothers and sisters. It's a way of action. We say this, brothers and sisters, and this program has been constituted tonight to remind all of you to prepare yourselves. To prepare yourselves for the sacrifices ahead. Because now we have reached critical mass. We have reached the stage now where it's time to begin the serious work of implementing Islam in this country. And this is going to require the most gut-wrenching sacrifices we can muster. And to be up to the challenge, we stand here in New York and we're between two people who embodied the spirit of sacrifice. To our north, we have Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz. And to our south, in Rutherford, New Jersey, or to our west, we have Muhammad Alexander Russell Webb. And both of them, they gave their lives for this deen. They gave their lives propagating this deen. They gave their lives advancing this deen. And now it's our turn. As Sheikh Muhammad, he recited, or Sheikh Abdullah, he recited from the book of Allah, من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا. That from amongst the believers there are human beings who are honest and truthful with the covenant they've convened with Allah. Amongst them there are those who have already made the supreme sacrifice. They've given their lives. And amongst them there are those who are waiting their turn to implement the covenant. And they've never weakened. They've never changed. They've never wavered in their resolve to implement that covenant. They've never weakened. They've never slackened. They've never changed. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Brothers and sisters, So sacrifices lie ahead of us. Sacrifices lie ahead of us. But if we sacrifice, then we will receive a tremendous gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A gift that will alter the course of history. Just as it has occurred in the past, so too shall it. And if you don't believe that, you're not up to the challenge. This mission, brothers and sisters, amongst the many things it requires two basic fundamental characteristics. Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. That we made from amongst them leaders who guided by our command after they patiently persevered and they were absolutely certain concerning our sign. It requires patience. It requires steadfastness. It requires perseverance. And it requires absolute certainty. It requires absolute certainty. If there were a mountain in our path, then with our certainty, we will go through that mountain if the mountain doesn't move. You have to be absolutely certain. And if we have these characteristics, Allah Ta'ala will make us leaders who will guide by His command. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And that isn't difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Verily His command, when He desires anything, is but say to it, be and it is. Be and it is, brothers and sisters. Be and it is. What is the motor that drives this ability to sacrifice? Sheikh Muhammad mentioned it. He said he was going to summarize the whole story, and he did. I'm only reiterating what he said for emphasis. For emphasis. The motor is love. We have to love something, someone, more than we love our fathers and our sons and our wives and our kinfolk and our businesses and our dwellings. We have to love someone more than we love those things. Because if we love someone more than we love those things, then we will sacrifice those things. And we should know that just as sacrifice is the way of this religion, sacrifice is a measure of the completeness of our acceptance of this religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That you will never attain to righteousness. Never attain to righteousness until you spend from that which you love. Until you spend from that which you love. You will never attain to righteousness until you spend from that which you love. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَى. There's not righteousness that you turn your faces from the east or towards the west. Rather, it is righteousness that you believe in Allah and the last day and the angels and the messengers and that you spend of your money, of your wealth, in spite of your love for it. In spite of your love for it. Why? Because you love something more than you love that wealth. And we should know that if we don't attain to that level, then we are oppressors. We are oppressors. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah does not love oppressors. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not love oppressors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His book, His exalted and glorious book, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ أَنْدَادَ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدَ الْعَذَابِ. That from amongst the people there are those who set up partners or equals to Allah, whom they love as they rightfully should love Allah. And those who believe are most intense in their love for Allah. The intensity of their love for Allah leaves no place in their heart for anything other than Allah. The intensity of their love for Allah leaves no place in their heart for anything other than Allah. The intensity of their love for Allah leaves nothing in their heart for anything other than the love, their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are believers. These are believers. Those who set up the wife or the father. Allah ta'ala says that you should pray. The father says, I don't want you too religious. I don't want my children being fanatics. I want you to have good health. Don't get up so early. Just pray the Fajr when the sun comes up. And the child says, yes, father. You've made him a partner with Allah. Your love for Allah should lead you to say, yes, father, out of respect for your father. And then while he sleeps, you get up and make a very quiet wudu and go ahead and pray. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe are most intense in their love for Allah. If there's any conflict, our ummah, we're afflicted because when there's a conflict, the people who say they represent Islam, when there's a conflict between their interest and the good interest of this ummah, they compromise the interest of the ummah and they advance their interest. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe are most intense in their love for Allah. And the intensity of their love for Allah precludes their obeying anything if that obedience contradicts or conflicts with their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah ta'ala says, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And when those oppressors, when they see al-azab, the torment, every oppressor will be shown the torment, will be shown the hellfire, and it will humble them. The most arrogant people will be humble. Fir'aun, well, he's already been humbled. Hitler, all these people, may Allah guide them to Islam, but who are currently fighting against Islam, if they don't come into this deen, they're going to be humbled. Clinton can arrogate himself vis-a-vis the Iraqi people, but when he's in this maqam, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةِ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. The truth will be made known that all power belongs to Allah. They think they have power because, as Imam Siraj said, they're deluded. They're deluded. They're blinded by all of this. But when the reality is made known, they will say, "Inna al-quwwata lillahi jami'a." All power is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All power is with Allah. Ma aghna anni maliya. Halak anni sultaniya. That not my wealth, that they lied for, that they transgressed against the ordinance of Allah to obtain, that they cheated, that they schemed, that they violated, that they rode roughshod over people to obtain, on that day the wealth will not benefit them in any way. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَا. And all the authority, they trampled on people, they belittled people, they insulted people, they abused people, they behaved treacherously with people, they scandalized, they cheated, they lied so they could be up above the people, and then the reality will be made known to them. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَا. That all my power and authority has gone from me. And then the command will be issued to the angels, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوا. Seize him and strangle him. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوا. And then make him fuel for the hellfire. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters, by this passing illusion. Illusion. Look beyond it towards the reality of things, my brothers and sisters. Our love for Allah. When we love Allah, when we love Allah, brothers and sisters, there's no sacrifice. Some of the people of the spiritual path, they thought they had advanced in their spiritual strivings. And until they reached the part where they said, La taklif. They made a huge mistake. There's no more religious responsibility. I've arrived. Wasalt. Imam Junaid said, Naam, wasal, wasala, wasala ila saqar. They've arrived to hellfire. So they made a big mistake. But there's a related word. And when they say, La kulfa, if we love Allah, then they're right. Because when we love Allah, there's no burden in our worship. Allah says, Qum min al-layl. We stand in the night. There's no burden. Allah says, fast. We fast. There's no burden. Allah says, spin. We spin. There's no burden. La kulfa. La kulfa. Because when you love someone, you're at their service willingly and gladly. And you're not burdened in the least. It makes you light. It makes your heart light to serve your beloved. It makes your heart light to serve your beloved. And when your beloved asks nothing of you, it weighs on your heart. Right or wrong, brothers and sisters? When your beloved asks nothing of you, it weighs on you. And the more your beloved asks of you, the more your beloved demands of you, the lighter and lighter and lighter it becomes for you. Because you're in love. You're all shook up. We want to be shook up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we're all shook up for Allah, we're going to shake up this world, brothers and sisters. We have to sacrifice, and we should know that our sacrifices will be focused. The time is coming. Don't look at where we're at. Look at where we've come from. Look at where we come from. 10 years ago, there were probably how many? 25 masjids in New York? Now Imam Siraj said there are over 150, and they're growing. They said in this metropolitan area, there are over 1 million Muslims, and the numbers are growing, and they're growing quantitatively and qualitatively. 10 years ago, if you had this gathering, people would be just speaking, and they wouldn't know where they got it from. 10 years ago, there were no brothers. There were hands. We could count on our two hands the brothers and sisters who were studying overseas. To get a higher understanding of this religion. Now we can't count them. We just stop counting. There are probably over 1,000 between Syria and Egypt and Morocco and Mauritania and Pakistan. 10 years ago, if we wanted to have Tarawih, we would have one of the brothers reading out of the Mus'haf and still stumbling. Now every day there's a new Hafiz in our midst. Right here in Teaneck, New Jersey, they don't even have a masjid yet. And they have 7 Huffaz. During less than 2 years, brothers and sisters. So we're growing quantitatively and we're growing qualitatively. But to bring it all together, it's going to take sacrifice on all of our parts. It's going to take a different level of sacrifice also. It's not going to just take the sacrifice of the money. It's going to take that of the time, the resources, the skills, talents, and abilities. It's going to take all of that, brothers and sisters. Possibly even the lives. Possibly even the lives. This is part of the process, brothers and sisters. This is part of the process. We have to include the sisters. Brothers say, well, why do you say sisters, brothers? Because Sumayya was the first martyr. Sumayya was the first martyr. And that's the supreme sacrifice. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ أَيَّامٌ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. That thee, if some difficulty has afflicted you, a similar difficulty has afflicted your enemy. Brothers and sisters, we have to have a broad historical vision. We say, yes, the Muslims are being pushed from pillar to post. The Muslims are being battered in Kashmir. But have the Muslims lost Kashmir yet? Is Kashmir a big place? Some brothers and sisters from the subcontinent. Is it a big place? Kashmir? Big in geopolitical terms. Is it big? It's not big geographically. Muslims are struggling in Philistine. But have we lost Philistine yet? We haven't lost it. It's occupied, but we haven't lost it. We haven't lost it till the last martyr sheds the last drop of his or her blood. We haven't lost Philistine, brothers and sisters. And if we did, is it a big place? It's not that big. Bosnia. There was a tremendous struggle in Bosnia. But did we lose all of Bosnia, brothers and sisters? We haven't lost Bosnia. And if we did, is it a big place? It's not a big place, brothers and sisters. During the time all of these struggles have gone on, they've lost a superpower. They've lost a superpower, brothers and sisters. They've lost a nation as mighty as America, who they thought was unassailable. They went into Afghanistan as the Soviet Union, and they came out as the Russian Republic. إِنْ يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. In order that Allah, these are tests. In order that Allah will show which of you believes. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ, and take from your ranks martyrs. So we might lose some lives along the way. But that's part of the process, brothers and sisters. But we're going to have to sacrifice something else. We're going to have to start sacrificing the attitudes. We're going to have to start sacrificing the nafs, the egoism. We're going to have to start sacrificing that belief that everything can only be done one way, my way. And it's my way or the highway. We're going to have to start sacrificing that. And in conclusion, I'm going to bear out what Imam Siraj says. He said that you can't listen to a speech except that you hear عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما نقصت صدقة من مال. On the authority of Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet, he said that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, rather, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, wealth will never be decreased by charity. This isn't a fundraising event, brothers and sisters, but when you go out, someone put a box outside, drop a dollar in the box, start practicing. Practicing what? Giving up the dunya. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, he said that one reason or wisdom that Allah usually mentions the sacrifice with the wealth first is that it conditions you to give up the dunya. Then when you're in shape, if you have to give it all up by giving your life up, you're ready. Because you practice giving it up a little bit at a time. $5 here, $10 there, a car here, a house there. I don't need two houses. I'll give it as a retreat for the young Muslims. A car here, a house there. And then when it's time for the struggle with the life, you're ready, brothers and sisters. So start practicing. Someone put a box in the back. Help the brothers out and sisters. So he said, and be assured that will never decrease your wealth. Wealth will never be decreased by charity. وَمَا زَادَ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّا. And a servant will never be increased in any way by overlooking the faults and transgressions of others except in honor and nobility. Don't be afraid to back down, brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid to say, I accept your apology. Don't be afraid to say, I'm sorry. You will be ennobled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be ennobled by Allah. وَمَا زَادَ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّا. وَمَا تَوَادَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. And no one humbles himself for the sake of Allah except that Allah exalts him. So walk away from humble your opinion. Alhamdulillah, maybe you're right. There's no need to argue. There's too much work to be done. This is humility. Omar radiallahu anhu, he said he saw a man walking like that, a young man, and he slapped him on his neck. He said, the taqwa is here, not here. وَمَا تَوَادَعَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. And when you back down, you humble yourself. You say, okay, there are two or three opinions. Maybe the other two are right and mine is wrong. I could be wrong. Those are the hardest words to say. Elton John, I think it was, he had it wrong. He said, sorry always seems the hardest word. Maybe you're right seems to be the hardest word. Maybe I'm wrong seems to be the hardest word to say. Maybe I'm wrong. And maybe you're right. And since our scholars say it can be either way, in the interest of advancing the common good, I will do it your way. And if you do that, Allah will exalt you. Allah Ta'ala will exalt you. Because these are big people. We need big people, brothers and sisters. We don't need midgets. We don't need midgets. And midgets, I don't mean, as someone mentioned, Abdullah bin Mas'ud. He was almost a midget in stature. He couldn't barely stand up. He could barely stand up on a windy day. He had to climb on top of Abu Jahl after they killed him. It was like climbing a mountain. But he was a giant. He was a giant. And people who looked at him and they saw the nur radiating from him and they saw the certitude in him and they saw the honesty in him and they saw the strength in him. They didn't look at his physical stature. They looked at who he was as a human being. And those qualities that transcend physical description. They saw a giant. And brothers and sisters, we can all be giants. And we have to start by humbling ourselves. And Allah Ta'ala will make us giants. Allah Ta'ala will make us giants. In conclusion, and we must conclude because the night is long and many of you have long journeys ahead of you. Brothers and sisters, don't take anything for granted. Don't think that we're here in America and it's so hard to be a Muslim, and so just being a Muslim is good enough and Allah loves me. No, we're here to work. As Abdullah said, we're not here for the barakah. We're in it for the suluk, not for the barakah. We're in it for the action. We're in it to walk the path that leads to implementing Islam in this country, and not for the barakah. We're not in it for the barakah. And the people who are in it for the barakah, Allah Ta'ala will accept whatever they advance, and He will bring another people who will be in it for the suluk. They'll be in it for the path. And He says that when He addresses the believers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Whoever of you turns back from this deen, from helping it, then Allah will bring another people. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. Whom He will love and they love Him. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And these people, they will be gentle to the believers. Now we are harsh to the believers. We are gruff and coarse and crude to the believers. We look for every opportunity to argue with a believer. We look for every opportunity to put down a believer. We look for every opportunity to slander and slight and undermine a believer. But these people, they will be the epitome of mercy and kindness and compassion to the believers. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And they will be firm to those antagonistic non-believers. Not all the non-believers. They will call the bulk of them to humanity. But those who would fight against Allah and His Messenger, those who would conspire against Allah and His Messenger, they will be firm and unyielding in their faces. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They will struggle in the way of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And they will not fear the criticism of the criticizer. They won't care what anyone says about them. Why? Because they're too busy loving Allah. They're too busy loving Allah. One of you brothers out there loves someone by Allah named Aisha. And because you love Aisha, you don't care what Fatima says about you. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the bounty and the grace of Allah. He gives to whomsoever He pleases. He gives to whomsoever He pleases. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah is most expansive in His bounties. His treasures are endless. عَلِيم. And He's most knowledgeable as to where they should be deposited. And He says in another verse, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. And if you turn back, Allah will put in your place another people, and they won't be like you. So brothers and sisters, let's get busy before Allah Ta'ala gives this job to someone else. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.